Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, women's basketball fans, to the latest edition of Replay, the podcast devoted to women's college basketball and specifically focusing on distinguishable games and wins over the last 24 to 48 hours. I'm your host, Coach Bill, coming to you from the Big Apple, New York on this Tuesday, January 17th, as we continue to get settled in here to 2017, and want to thank everybody for tuning in to this latest edition. Want to also go back and thank our terrific guests from yesterday. We had two guests, Sue Guevara, the head coach at Central Michigan. They're off to a terrific start this year, one of the real intriguing mid-major teams, and she was a great spot. And then she was followed by the Florida State assistant. Give me a second here as I catch my breath. But, you know, and she was followed by Florida State assistant. Geez, I'm losing my track of mind here. But we had two great guests yesterday, and we're back at it today with Shauna Green, the head coach from Dayton. And Dayton is really surging. They had a tough schedule to start the year, and now they're really surging to a 7-1 run now, 5-0 in the A-10. And Shauna is the first-year head coach now. She took over for Jim Jaber in September, and so she's really got things going now with her Dayton team. So we're going to look to bring her in here in a minute, and we'll look to also recap some of the games from last night that went on across the landscape of college basketball. But, again, we're about midway through the college slate now, and things are certainly picking up across the country. But with no further delay, let's look to reach out to Ohio and bring in Shauna Green. Shauna, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Bill.
Well, it's good to have you. Appreciate you taking some time out to join us here at Replay. But as you know, as everybody, you know, follows women's basketball now, and I just, you know, reiterated, you're in your first year now. What stage are you in now? You obviously took over the program in September, and for anybody, you know, who understands coaching, it can be extremely overwhelming, specifically in the first couple months. But you now have the team, you know, in a 7-1 stretch. I mean, what stage do you have? Have you pretty much been able to settle in and kind of catch your breath?
Mm-hmm. I don't know about catching my breath, but definitely getting a feel for the team. And I think, you know, they're understanding what I want from them, and I'm understanding them. And, you know, really starting to get into a rhythm. So, you know, it's every day I learn, and I think we get more comfortable with each other. And I think that's the thing people may not understand is just the timing. And you know, I was learning this team really, you know, as games were going. So in terms of making adjustments and changing up how we do some things, you know, that it's not as easy to do when you're going game and prep and game and prep. So, you know, I'm really just proud of the team and our girls for just sticking with it and, you know, and just keep on believing and buying into what we're trying to do here.
You know, it's such an interesting dynamic this time of year. You guys don't play again till Saturday. You're coming off this huge win on the road at St. Louis, and it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't. Certainly, you know, gives you, your staff and the team to, you know, a chance to kind of take a breath and exhale a little bit in the meat grinder of a schedule. But yet, obviously, you guys are now on a 7-1 run, so there's part of you that also doesn't really want to, you know, take a week off because you're, as coaches, we can tend to be paranoid about having that kind of time off when things are going well. So are you kind of a little 50-50 on that, that you could, guys could probably use the break at this point, but yet also you're a little paranoid about having the break?
Yeah, I try to just look at it from the positive angle, like you said, and not even think about, you know, oh, what are, you know, are we going to get out of a rhythm after being up? So I'm really just focusing in on, first off, they get, you know, we're giving them 2 days off, which I think sometimes people don't realize how big that is and how they need that. You know, it's such a grind, and our schedule, our non-conference schedule is such a grind that, you know, and up and a lot of our starters are playing high minutes, so they really need a couple days off, and we're going to really focus, you know, today and practice on us and just fine-tuning stuff. We have a long ways to go, and we're by no means where we want to be. So practice on, you know, focus on us, and then we'll get into our prep work, you know, on Thursday, Friday, leading into Saturday.
Sure, in a few minutes we'll concentrate more on the St. Louis game and get some of your thoughts about the game and things that went on with it and highlight some of the individual performances. But I certainly want to take a few minutes to just to get the audience a little bit more familiar with you and your dynamic with this team. And, you know, I can relate a lot to the situation you're in this year. You know, about 3 years ago, you know, even coming back from my cancer journey, I took over from a really successful Division II coach, my first head coaching opportunity, and I got the job in late August and pretty much the beginning of September before I started. And it was just, you know, obviously a couple of dynamics. There was the time frame, and then there was, you know, trying to implement things that I wanted to do, taking over for a very successful coach, which you certainly did with Jim Jaber there. And I have to tell you, and also someone who's always studied the landscape of coaching, it's always an interesting dynamic in that first year. You know, for me, I'll be honest with you, I didn't really feel like through the whole year that it was my team. I know for some other coaches, there's a point in that first year where they feel like it's kind of settling into where it's their team. And, you know, with you guys, you got off to such a, you know, a tough start in terms of especially the non-conference schedule. I mean, when you look at some of the teams that you guys played to get it started, I mean, you're obviously trying to get, you know, your grip on the team and get, you know, kind of like, as you alluded to earlier, you know, the comfortability with everybody. You have some new pieces. You have just a lot of, you know, parts at work there. And then you got a schedule where you're basically, you know, facing teams like UConn and Princeton and, you know, Wisconsin, Big Ten, Quinnipiac, which people don't realize how good a mid-major program they are. And then you go ahead, you know, Georgia Tech and Creighton. Creighton, you know, is terrific this year in the Big East, and Georgia Tech, ACC. And, you know, and I got to tell you, one of the games that sticks out to me is the LaSalle game, because it's, you know, one of those weird scheduling quirks where you had to play a conference game in the beginning of December. And I keep looking at someone who's followed your program so closely, and especially this year, I look at that game and I'm like, man, if they had that game back now with the team that they are now, you know, and obviously you dropped that game. But and then you had the Florida trip where, you know, it seemed like things really kind of turned the corner for you guys. But you had Texas A&M and Old Dominion. I mean, it just was, you know, a heck of a non-conference schedule. But I have to tell you, a lot of people would point, obviously, and you may, to that Texas A&M and that Florida trip where I think maybe you guys started to kind of come together, and you obviously had made some changes. And obviously a huge win over Texas A&M where you kind of dominated a majority of that game. And I think that had to bring a lot of confidence to the overall group and say, you know, what we can be moving forward. But I have to tell you, as someone who's been through kind of what you're in, I really feel like the George Washington game and specifically this St. Louis game, from looking on the outside, I'm like, you know what, it's Shauna's team now. And specifically the St. Louis game, because to me, when you're a head coach and you got to now go into those games where you're in conference and everybody knows each other and every possession is a grind and you got to go on the road, you got to win, and you got to beat the other top teams in the conference, to me, that's when it kind of really says to the kids and everybody that, you know what, okay, you know, I got this. This is my team. We can win these big games with me as the leader. And I have to be honest with you, I watched that Texas A&M game, and it's no disgrace to you guys because you guys played at a high level, but I don't know what their deal was, because I've watched them all year, and they just, for especially in the first half, I don't know if they were there for a vacation for a first half or what, but to me, the George Washington game, and specifically this St. Louis team, it was like, you know what, that's showing this team. That's a big-time landmark game right there to beat a program and a team like St. Louis on the road to do it the way. So I'm just curious to get your thoughts about, again, you know, having to go through that knockout, but now getting those two wins. And I, again, from the outside, to me, it says, you know what, that this is Shauna's team, and I think the kids really now realize that they have, you know, the coach that's going to lead them through some big wins and take them through this gauntlet of an A-10 schedule.
Well, I appreciate that and those words. You know, you nailed it with a lot of those games that we went through. I mean, they're not easy, you know, and you're going on the road, and, you know, the Bahamas trip was, you know, it was a tough trip, and Georgia Tech, who was a great team. I mean, they just beat Syracuse the other night, and, you know, we had a lead with them, and, you know, we lost it, and then Creighton, we had a lead, and we lost it. And, you know, so we were up in all these games. We were up. It's never like we got blown out. So we knew we were right there. And, you know, it was really kind of like what you alluded to. Like, they needed to win a couple of those. It was like, you could just see it kind of all coming together. And we just had it, you know, so my whole thing and our staff's whole thing was really just one day at a time. And we never, you know, dwelled on anything. It was always this, well, we learned from this, we got to get better. You know, win or lose, like, this is what we have to do, back to practice. And just keeping our practices, you know, competitive and intense and the pace high, because that's how we play. You know, again, it's a testament to our team. I mean, they could have given in. They could have just said, you know, whatever. And they didn't. They just kept believing. They stuck with it. And like I said, I think the turning point for us, and when I look back so far on this season, has been after that Toledo game, during that finals break, 11 days off, completely. We had a couple team meetings that really had nothing to do with basketball, and it just, our bond grew so much more, you know, off the floor. And then we had time to actually make adjustments and get better. It was really our first time, because of our schedule, that we were home for an extended time and had time to improve. So, and then the Texas A&M and the Old Dominion game, you know, in Florida, I just felt like it all came together. And that was now the confidence that, hey, like, go to you game. You know, things didn't go well. Texas A&M, everything went well. Shots were going in. You know, things were great. Next day, it's a tough, tough physical team in ODU, and we were down 11, and we had to show some fight and some toughness and grit and resiliency, and we did that. We fought back, and it wasn't pretty. It wasn't a perfect offensive game, but we did it with defense and rebounding and toughness, and that's really what I want our identity to be, and we did that. And I think you've seen now, you know, a lot of these games, they may not be perfect. They're not perfect. They're not, you know, beautifully executed offense all the time. But we're finding ways to get play, you know, to get stops and to get offensive rebounds and what I call just passion plays. Like, you need to want it more than, you know, the other guy and find a way to get it done. And I think that's what we've been doing more consistently. You know, and I think St. Louis, I mean, I have so much respect for what Lisa's done at St. Louis and their team.
Yeah.
That's a great team, and they're really hard to guard, and I'm really proud of our girls for really doing and sticking with the game plan and, you know, just working so hard defensively in order to do, you know, a fairly good job on Jackie Kemp and their surrounding pieces, because that's a really, really good team. And I told Lisa after the game, you know, I mean, we got to play each other again. We're probably going to have a couple more battles this year. And, you know, like I said, I have so much respect for them. So I'm really proud of us going in. Like you said, it's so tough. Any game in the A-10, any conference, is so tough to go in and get a road win. But to get one against a caliber team of that, you know. But we still didn't play. We didn't play, you know, great. We made plays, so we got to go back today, and we're going to continue to try to improve. And again, our mentality is just one day at a time. Try to be better today than we were yesterday.
Well, you know, Sean, I mean, anytime, and again, the A-10 is literally as good a mid-major. I mean, to me, it's right there, you know, right on the outskirts of the Power Five conferences. It's just a terrific conference. But you know, there's not going to be really any nights where the other teams allow you to play great. I mean, playing great is just not going to usually happen in a really good conference, because they have something to say about it, for sure. And, You know, I talked all, you know, on the social media the last 2 days about what a huge win I thought it was for you guys. And a lot of it had to do with I know what St. Louis is all about, you know, and how good they are to be able to go into St. Louis and get that win. I mean, to me, again, that's a huge, huge win. And someone could say, wow, you're really kind of, you know, get hyping it up. No, it was. And here's the thing, you know, just to spend another minute or two just on the general element. You know, again, we can obviously as coaches, we're in the grind. It's next day. It's next play as much as possible. And winning programs and winning cultures understand that. And Dayton has been that and continues to be that. But you know what, Coach? There is the human element. And I know I felt it. You know, and that year I had as the head coach taking over that, especially when, you know, obviously Coach Jaber's resignation, what was a stunning thing and a shocking thing. And then, you know, you have the timing of it. And there's no way that the human element, especially when you have a tough non-conference schedule that doesn't allow you to get off to such, you know, to a smooth and great start, that there's no way that the human element isn't a part of a look back factor where, you know, where. And it's just encompassing on at some point in that season, there has to be that opportunity for, you know, for the head coach where you do have those signature wins. And it is kind of my, and everyone can look forward and not look back anymore. And I got to tell you, I really feel the George Washington game for sure, you know, was one of them, even though, again, you did have, you know, the Texas A&M, you did have games like at Virginia where you went toe-to-toe with them, which was really a heck of a performance considering you guys seem like you ran out a little bit of gas considering the timing of the game and everything. But these two wins, and especially, you know, again, going to St. Louis and now, again, being on the side, to me, there's no way not every single person in that program can't be just absolutely looking forward and saying, yes, you know, we have our identity now. We're this is who we are. We're going to build on this. But to me, again, that was just a really seismic win to be able to go into St. Louis and get that win. And you referenced multiple times, you know, after Toledo, I know the broadcasters even did during the game, some of the changes you made, you know, some subtle changes or just changes in general to the offense that you made after the Toledo game. And if you can you give us a little insight? I think I've noticed, you know, a couple things, but I want to see, you know, get your thoughts on what kind of, you know, changed a little bit to give you a little bit more of an identity and just some flow on that and to go along with obviously the defensive emphasis that you've put in since day one.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, when I, again, timing, I came in and we really just kept doing what we've done here and, you know, what I did here as an assistant and what Coach had been doing. And it just, every season's different. That's the thing, you know. I mean, last time I was here running it, you know, you had two players that got drafted in the WNBA, and that's no disrespect for anyone on our team. It's just you, they're different, you know. It's every year's different for every team in the country. So, you know, I didn't have the summer or really the preseason to really, okay, you know, like this is our personnel, this is what would fit. So, again, we went in doing that, and I just think we were putting a lot of pressure on, you know, Jenna and Kelly up top with, you know, a lot of our ball screen stuff. So we just really just tried to get more action and more flow and, you know, getting more movement and screening leading into our ball screen stuff. And that was really the change that we made. And just trying to, I think coaching is trying to put your players in the best position to be successful. And, you know, it would be dumb of me to, you know, just say, well, we're going to run this because this is what we've always run or this is what I believe we run, and it doesn't fit our personnel. That's not right, and that's not being, you know, it's not fair to our kids. So it just took a little bit of time, you know, okay, well, this is what teams are, you know, how they're playing us. This is, you know, what she's good at, and really just tried to make those adjustments to, you know, to change some things up a little bit, so.
And again, that's where I can really, I just remember our first 2 or 3 months, it was that battle for me of, you know, again, it was a very successful program and, you know, was trying to keep what had been successful for them so there wasn't too much change. But then I also knew that there was some changes that needed to, to be made for it to, you know, for it to work, like you said, with that group and for it to work with some of the things. It was a constant battle for a couple. And I got to tell you, I feel so happy for you because I feel like you're past that now. And I feel like that's part of the exhale for you. And it also, obviously, you know, it shows in the product because you guys are now really moving forward. You know, again, the 7-1 stretch and just playing terrific basketball for the most part on both ends. But here's what I see, Coach, and it reminds me, some of the stuff you're running now looks a little bit like what Notre Dame and UConn run. You're running, you know, there's some elbow series and you're getting that elbow injury, you know, with your post. And I think the thing I love about it most, besides the fact that, like you said, you're getting some screening action and it's allowing your guards to come off in a different way than just, you know, the straight ball screen stuff. But I think it's also the thing I love about it, and I talked about this with Neil Ivey when I had her on and what they do, it's so center court centric, which I think takes a lot of, you know, built-in help and position defense away, and it puts a lot more stress on all five defenders. And so I think it's really giving you guys some threatening stuff, possession in, possession out, that way as well. And so I just want to give you a chance to follow up the fact that it's that elbow series that's kind of keeping a majority of your offense, you know, middle of the floor dominated.
You're right, it's a lot of, you know, horns, elbow entry stuff, you know, just a ton of different screen actions, and like you said, it's, you know, anything on the middle of the floor is always harder to defend, and you got to make decisions on how you're going to guard certain screens, and in same decisions we have to make, you know, game to game. But know, with our personnel and having, you know, some guards that can do a lot of different things and having bigs that, you know, that can score down low, which, again, that's a little bit different. You know, my last year here as an assistant, you know, you had Alan a lot at the four or the five, and she was like a guard in there. So she could – where our bigs now, depending on, you know, our starting bigs, they're more, you know, 15 feet in and more back to the basket. So it's just different and trying to utilize that, and we need to continue to – you know, to see what works and make changes. And it's obviously always evolving, and we got to just keep getting better and keep, you know, getting more disciplined in it. We're still, you know, turning the ball over too much, and we need to do better with that. And you know, we emphasize it, but we need to clean, you know, a lot of little things up like that. It's just, we can't give away possessions and expect to, you know, be consistent. So I think that's one thing we need to tighten up. And we've been focusing on it, so hopefully, you know, it'll start showing in games.
Yeah, Alan, we're going to lock in here in a minute on that last game and just some of the particulars in it. But the other thing I want to ask you, I know when you took over the job and following your press conferences and your interviews, it seemed certainly like two major identities for you moving forward with this program were certainly the defensive end. You're big on that, and it was going to be just an everyday, you know, sellout emphasis to it. But also, you know, an up-tempo style and then trying to fly up the court and not having to just, you know, be a half-court, you know, dominated team. And so I'm curious that I certainly see, you know, on the defensive end, one of the things that I love that you guys are doing that's distinguishing itself, besides the fact, especially in that first half, I saw some great wide stances, which God knows is so refreshing and gets me on the edge of my seat. But you guys also had some really almost, you know, Connecticut timing type rotations that were terrific that a lot of teams seem to be struggling with across the country. But here's the thing that really stood out to me, and to be a top-notch defensive team, to me, a lot of it comes down to how you defend in the post and the kind of discipline. And certainly you have Stacia Grant Allen, who's just, you know, potentially dominating one-on-one defender inside in the post that gives you, you know, just a great advantage with her. But the discipline you guys show with your hands and trusting your chest is distinguishable to me. I mean, it's a terrific job by you and your staff to get these kids, you know, 95% of the time disciplined with trusting their chest, being high and wide with their hands, that are really creating great discipline and some imposing presence that's forcing some tough shots and inside. So if you can just speak on that, you know, again, that aspect of, because the post defense to me, it all kind of builds from the inside out. If you can be real good for post defense, I think it allows your perimeters to be even more aggressive. But that area has really stood out to me, how you guys are defending inside with the high hands, the chest, you know, trusting the chest, you know, bodying up your chest, and that, because a lot of teams are not getting that, and they're getting into hand issues, you know, and forearm issues, which are making them vulnerable and getting it to foul. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's something that we emphasize, and, you know, Sasha is, I mean, she has great length, so she's picked up some fouls, because they say she comes down a little bit, you know, at the end, but, I mean, every day, all of our defense with our post play is wall up, you know, hands are straight up, make them hit tough shots over you, slide your feet, you know, and try to force them as far out as from the basket as they can. And, you know, Alex, we've worked with her, and she's continuing to get better about having her hands straight up, because, you know, she got in the habit of playing with her hands down. So it's something that we emphasize, you know, daily with our defense. And again, you're right. If you can do your job inside, and if you can stay matched up, especially like a team like St. Louis, you know, who really thrives on paint touches, and if you can do your job and contain the ball, you know, you're not going to have as many rotations and as many chances to, you know, get number situations. But, I mean, we practice, you know, defense is huge for us. You know, we drill it, we talk about it, you know, hold them accountable for it. And, you know, we just got to continue to get better at it. But, you know, going back to like what you were talking about with our identity, you know, we say we want to defend, rebound, and run. In those that has happened in that order. You can't run and you can't, you know, we get freedom on offense and we want to play fast. And if you're open on the break, you're going to shoot it. But you can't do that if you don't have the ball and if you don't, you know, dig down and get stops and then get box outs in order to get possession and go. So that's kind of what, and I can see it the last, you know, few games. And, you know, that's kind of where we've won the games. We've gotten stops, we've gotten rebounds, and, you know, we've made plays from there.
Yeah, good. And the second part of that identity, you know, is playing fast. And, God, no, there's no greater lover and student of playing fast than a pimper than me. Studying Roy Williams on the men's side with North Carolina, to me, is the godfather of kind of up-tempo and secondary break. And one of the things that really distinguished them is, you know, for years was just how hard they ran. I mean, they were committed, even on makes. They would get it in quickly and get it. And I'm curious with you, you know, at this point, you know, middle of January, obviously, in your first year taking over, where are you with that? Because that's actually the one area where I continue to – I think there's still a lot to be gained in with you guys in terms of the consistent fly up the floor and even the secondary break portion of it, because I just continue to be a huge believer that that's some of the toughest stuff to defend for teams is when they just get back. They take that breath, and when you hit them – you know, with hard secondary break type stuff. And I saw you guys, you know, implementing, obviously a lot of what you do runs through Jenna Burdett, but you had some of that two post ball screen stuff that really put some pressure on St. Louis and on teams where she comes off so hard off the ball screens, and now she can either score for herself or, you know, she certainly has some pitch out opportunities. And so where are you at with that? As far, and I know, you know, and I developed a really good friendship with a UNC assistant that we would talk, and some of his team, you know, they would run harder than others. But getting the kids to, because every kid says they want to play up-tempo or run, but the hardest thing is to get them trained to running hard every time. And it's really not about having great athletes. It's about having runners that are committed every time. But where are you guys at with that? Because I still think, especially in an A-10 in a conference that has the likes of Fordham's and the St. Louis's and so many programs that want to grind you out in a half court, there's such a breath of fresh air if you can, you know, consistently get out and get them. But Roy Williams says so often, he goes, there's going to be, you know, 10 to 15 possessions that they take off. It's just every team does, and we're going to make them pay every time. Anytime they take a possession off, getting back collectively, we're going to make. So where are you at with that standpoint, you know, in that facet of getting your team to play as fast and as organized as you want?
I mean, that's something that, you know, has always been like our identity at Dayton, and Coach had developed that with our fast break, and, you know, and we've kept that. So that goes to, I mean, it's really ingrained in them. It's a culture thing. They know that that's, you know, how we play, and quite frankly, we practice at a high pace every single day, and we practice our break every single day. So I don't think you can be a running team if you don't practice at a very high level with that, you know, every single time. Or, you know, we're on them about sprinting your lane, and you know, in our break, it's very, you know, it's just depending on where people are on the floor, where the screens are coming from, so you can't, it's not really scoutable. And that's when we're running, and we talk about it. Like I said, it's really as part of our identity is to run and to play that fast and try to score in 6 seconds or less. And then, you know, if we don't have that, then we're going to come and we're going to get in our stuff and, you know, we're going to try to grind it out and get the best shot. But when we have you look this year, when we're at our best, you know, we're getting stops or rebounding and we're really pushing the pace. So we know pace for us is critical in our success. And I think we can get better. I think we can get better even off of, you know, we did change up some things, you know, in St. Louis of just even off makes, you know, pushing the ball a little bit more instead of just, you know, walking up. So I think there's some things that, you know, we need to look at and it's always, you know, it's a process. We got to continue, but that'll always be our, you know, one of our biggest things offensively. I mean, we want the pace to be up and we want to be able to wear people down. And like we say, you may not see it in the first or the second, but, you know, mid third and fourth, you know, hopefully you're wearing these guys down and, you know, and that's where pace pays off.
Well, and the thing is, you guys have so much talent coming off the bench, too, that if it can become a game of getting into benches, you guys have an advantage. You have mobile posts, which makes it even more dangerous because they can, you know, they can dictate through the middle of the floor just getting there. And I just think, especially with 30-second shot clocks, it's the secondary benefit that even if you don't get anything out of the primary or the immediate second, you now have a full – you know, almost 20 to 25 seconds to get into, you know, your half-court offense and to reverse the ball once or twice and stuff. And, you know, to me, I obviously there's different ways to skin a cat, but walking it up stuff to me, it just it wrangles me. So I love watching you guys from that standpoint. I love what you're doing, you know, with the team on the defense. There's no question it's an emphasis. There's no question. To see some of the bursts and the lateral slides, I mean, that second quarter and that first half specifically, there was just some terrific, you know, the collective defense and just some individual efforts to shut kids off, you know, on some hard drives, which we know is the hardest thing to do in basketball. And there's some really good stuff that you can see you guys have a chance to have a legitimate, you know, February, March, high-level defensive team. And obviously, Stacia Grant Allen and what she was able to do and the success she has against Sadie Stepanovich, their terrific post player, you know, really allows you guys to get out on the perimeter and kind of play 4-on-4 with the other kids as well. But I tell you, the offensive end to me, because I honestly, again, to me, that's the area. You guys are averaging, what, about like 67 points? There's no doubt in my mind that this is a mid-70s to close to 80-point-per-game caliber team. You know, you just have that kind of firepower. You have the depth. You have the system. So, again, and obviously you're in a very tough conference that it's going to try and grind you down. But I think you guys have that kind of capacity and talent. And you showed it at St. Louis. I mean, you showed it with the amount of points you scored there. And I think potentially that's the kind of team you guys are. And, you know, just want to spend a few minutes specifically on that game further. You know, at halftime, you guys got off to a good start at the outset of the game, and then they kind of rallied and took control of the first quarter, including a buzzer-beating three by Jacob Bistic. That's certainly a dagger. And you guys were trailing at the end of the first quarter. And then I thought Jayla Skates, your freshman, she certainly just provided a huge boost for the game overall. But in that second quarter, her and Canatelli with those back-to-back threes – really got you back in and over the hump to where you kind of, you know, surged ahead in that second quarter. And your bench was huge throughout the whole game with their production. But I thought Skate, the freshman, which might be a breakout game for her, not only in terms of the production, but who she did it against and shooting the ball like she did. And then Lauren Canatelli, who anybody who's followed the program knows was, you know, a rookie of the year kid in the A-10 last year, you know, shot at a pretty high clip and is a sniper kid. She's obviously, it's been a different mix this year. You know, there's different kids. She's maybe not had the exact same minutes. She hasn't had, but that was a big stretch for her because those back-to-back threes were really a huge boost.
Yeah. No, you're right. They were. And that's what we talk about. We preach all the time about, you know, team and everyone being ready. And when you come in, like, you just got to bring energy. You got to, you know, you don't have to do anything crazy, but just bring energy, be solid, and do what you do. And I thought, you know, our bench has been unbelievable, you know, this past, you know, how many games in the stretch you know, or what we're 8-1 the last 9 games. So, you know, our bench has really come through. And I've said it, you know, before, but what I love about this team is it's always someone different. You just, you know, someone, you know, Duquesne, it was Maddie Dennis, you know, St. Louis, it was Jayla coming off, and, you know, and Lauren hitting a couple big threes, and, you know, Texas A&M was Andy. So we are deep, and we have capable, you know, weapons. And, you know, some of it's been a change too defensively, you know, for some of our freshmen and even sophomores of, you know, the level of defense that is expected and our standard, and you got to be able to defend. But I love that they come in, and the thing I love about Jayla is she comes in and you know, she's not scared. She doesn't overthink stuff. She just comes and she's a gamer, and you know, she hit the big three right when she came in. She got the jump shot. She has the ability to just make plays and break you down, and she was key, no question about it. And her defense has gotten a ton better throughout this year, and that's what, you know, I'm just proud of her growth and really all of our bench, and I'm proud of how they take on you know, that challenge of when I come in, you know, that's my job to bring, you know, instant energy, and I should be diving on the floor. And those are the things that we talk about and we praise. And you know, if we want to be as good as we possibly can be, it's going to take every single one of us. And I love how they bought into that, and they just continue to work and be ready for their moment, you know. Be ready when you get in there. You know, it's up to you. It's another opportunity to make the most of it.
You know, I had Sue Gravaro on from Central Michigan yesterday, and they're off to a terrific start in one of the better mid-major programs out there, too. And she talks so much about her group. She's got a mature group about how they all embrace their role. And, you know, that was one of your biggest challenges this year, too. You had so many kids that can play. It's trying to find, you know, get them to settle into roles and embrace them. And I think games like the St. Louis game, where skates can certainly – you know, have that kind of impact, production, shoot the ball. And even for Lauren, you know, to be able to have that stretch where she banged that, you know, it kind of just implements, you know what, it's a different year, but that's what I can do, game. I can come in for a few minutes and break the game open or just, you know, get, you know, a surge. And I think that's what's starting to happen for your team too, which is huge. I think kids are, you know, again, they can say all the right things and they can nod their head every time a coach says, but until they fully buy in to their role and their niche on the team, you know, it is what it is. And hopefully games like that, especially those big games, they just cement things more than any other game. And so hopefully that's what happens with those two. But, Coach, I got to tell you, you know, a lot of times with coaches in these situations, I'll talk about an X-factor kid or whatever. To me, it's plain and simple. The X-factor for you guys moving forward is keeping Tayshia Grant Allen on the floor and out of foul trouble because, you know, as the broadcaster said, and I don't know how true it is, I'd have to really go back and count the point, but they said they went on a – St. Louis went on a 14-2 run in that first half when she was on the bench, and it didn't add up to me initially with the math, but if it's anything close to that, I mean, it really just speaks to the absolute dramatic impact when she's off the floor and how it changes things, you know, for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, and if she's got her and Alex have both gotten in foul trouble the last couple games, and teams are going at them. I mean, you know, this is a lot of really good coaches and a lot of good players in this league, and just like we attack people attack, you know, attack us. So they know, you know, how big of an impact she makes on both ends. So, and you know, that's why, again, it goes back to our defense and being disciplined and us being disciplined with her every day in terms of, you know, how she practices and getting her hands straight up. And, you know, it, some of the calls, it is what it is, and we got to deal with it. But we need her. You're 100% right. We need her on the floor. And it's been different when she's off, but I also give, you know, last two games she's gotten in foul trouble the first half and people have stepped in and have done their job and, you know, and really did what they needed to do. But the 14-2 run, that did happen and that can't happen. Like, that's where we need to get better. You know, we need to get better on both ends when she's not out on the floor. And that's our job. That's my job. You know, we need to make sure we're addressing this stuff. You can't give those bigger runs up. There's a game of runs, and we're going to give some. We're going to make a run. They're going to make a run. But you know, your 14-2, you know, like that. That's too big. It's too big, and
yep.
we got to clean that. And that's what I'm talking about. Even you look, and it's turnovers. It's, you know, some missed box outs. That's how they were scoring a lot, you know, in that first quarter, and really the first half is our fouling. So it's discipline. It's, you know, it's discipline on offense. It's discipline on defense. It's being sharper with our passes. A lot of the turnovers were unforced. So that's, you know, that's where it's nice to have this week, and we can continue to just harp on those things and clean that stuff up. Because, like I said, I mean, believe me, I'm so happy we won, and I'm so happy for our kids. But I still think we have so far to go, and there's so much we can get better at, you know. So, and that's what we got to continue to do each day.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, relentless minds and being greedy. It's a trait that winners have. They're just greedy. They just keep wanting more, and especially in terms of detail. And I literally would just keep you for a few minutes more. But, you know, obviously, you know, when you look at that game, you know, Jenna Burdett had, you know, the 21 points and, you know, the 5 assists and just, you know, everything run from her. And she just was consistently good throughout that game. First half, she made some big shots. Second half, she made some big shots. And then you had the play of Stacia Grant Allen. In only 18 minutes, this young lady had, she had, you know, 14 boards and 10 points in just the 18 minutes due to foul. So, but the performance of the game that, you know, probably very few are talking about outside of your locker room is Giovanna Layfield. To play 40 minutes and have 13 rebounds from the guard spot, I mean, that's just a monster beast performance. And specifically in the second half, when Layfield and Allen specifically just imposed will and broke their backs on the offensive boards, I, again, can't say enough about that performance from Giovanna. Again, another young lady still trying to kind of find her niche in a team full of weapons. I mean, that kind of game, I think that speaks, you know, volumes and sends a real message to her that, listen, she didn't dominate the game by scoring. She dominated it with her minutes, her defense, and her rebounding, and what a performance.
Yeah, and it's good, you know, you know the game, and you see all that stuff, and sometimes, like, you nailed it. You said, you know, a lot of people may not just watch the game, and they may not understand her impact for, you know, just general fans, but I mean, you understand it just by watching it, and we understand it as a staff. And I know that's why she plays 40 minutes. Like, I trust her so much out there, and I think she brings so much to us. And it's not usually by the scoring; it's usually by just the energy and her defense and, you know, her rebounding. When we need rebounds, the last I don't know how many games, literally in the third quarter, we need rebounds. We need the game to break open. And she has brought that energy along with Stacia. You're 100% right. They really just imposed their will. I think you said it perfectly. They imposed their will and said, we're not losing this game. And every possession matters to us, and we're going to get it. And Stacia and her did that. By the offensive rebounds, they made them play, you know, consecutive possessions of defense. And that's what I mean, I love it. I love when players do those little things like that. Like, it's just toughness, and it's just, you know, a kid that has a lot of heart and will do whatever it takes in order to put us in a position to win and just to not, you know, those are the things that really, like, that's what I want us to be about, like that stuff. You know, we're going to run, we're going to play fast, we're going to, you know, we're going to score, and it's exciting to play in that, but When you can do those, like I said before, like passion plays and just heart, you know, and toughness, like that's where I think you start really, like your program takes on that identity and you have a confidence about you that if they're tight games, like we can, you know, we can pull them out because we're going to just make plays. And I can't say enough about, you know, Jay's effort. And she's playing a lot of minutes, and, you know, I feel like she doesn't. A lot of times people don't, you know, give her enough credit. But I have the utmost, you know, respect and trust in her, and that's why she's on the floor a lot, to be honest with you.
And let's be honest, Coach. I mean, playing 40 minutes in that game is like playing 50 minutes because of the stress level of every possession and just, you know, the physicality and the talent on both ends. That's honestly – that's an incredible performance. 40 minutes and on the perimeter to have to defend, you know, on the perimeter with that stress and to have 13 rebounds in that game, just an incredible performance from her. And here's the thing, Coach, you know, just finally and quickly looking back a little further on that game, that was a rebound free throw game. Because in the first half, they got to the line 10 of 12, and they were 10 of 12 from the free throw line. And then they also won the rebounding battle 23 to 14. But in the second half, and honestly, it was a free throw rebound game. As you look at the numbers, I mean, just volumes on both ends. But in the second half, and specifically that fourth quarter, you guys, you know, won it to me. You got to the line more. You got the offensive board. You controlled the boards. And, you know, to me, that's where that game was. And that's the thing, I'm sure, as you continue to implore upon your kids, because, you know, obviously kids always think of scoring, they think, but it's rebounds and it's getting to the free throw lines. That in conference, that's what it all comes down to, nine times out of ten. And so that's what that game was about for sure. But I got to tell you, the other thing that's a backbreaker besides offensive rebounds, as you know, in these games, is when you have kids a little bit, you know, step out of their norm. And the shots that Jayla Scape made, not only because she's a freshman coming off the bench, but also because she's not really a reputation shooter yet. And I know if you're Coach Stone, you're just looking at the body language of Coach Stone, and I'm sure the St. Louis kids, when she's making those shots there, I think that's backbreaking to them, because it's like, damn, you know, we're already going toe-to-toe with this team, and then now there's kind of that X factor that you didn't really sign for before the game. And so I just want to get your quick thoughts on that element, having a kid kind of step out of maybe, you know, what the scouting report says, or, you know, what the stats say coming in, and it adding that kind of, not only what it does to the other team, but what it does for your team.
Oh, yeah. It's huge. Obviously, it's huge. And we know as a staff and as a team what she's capable of, because we see it every day. But, you know, again, being a freshman, it's like just getting that consistency of, you know, doing it game in and game out and on both ends of the floor in order to be out there. But I told you before that she's a gamer and she's a player. She's a playmaker. She's a scorer. You know, that's what she is. And, you know, she's going to be aggressive. She's not going to be scared to take shots. And she's done it in her last, you know, two games. Duquesne, right off the bench, she hit a three. You know, she did it at St. Louis the other day, and she's capable. You know, she had a great mid-range game. She gets it high. It's really, she can get her shot off against anyone. And that's where a couple times our plays broke down in that second half, and she was right in front of the bench, and I'm like, make a play, you know. And she went down, and she made a couple plays, and that's you know, that's her, because it was broken plays. And when you have players that are capable of doing that, and, you know, that's when you know, you can do some great things, is when you have players that can actually just break you down and make plays. So having her, you know, come off and score 16 and hit big-time shots, and again, her defense. A couple times we had her on Jackie Kemp and, you know, to give Kelly a break. And, I mean, that's where she's made probably the most growth, is being able to defend and understanding the level that it, you know, of intensity and discipline that it takes. But if she can continue to come off the bench and be consistent like that, it's going to be huge for this team, you know, and I know she's capable of that. So, you know, hopefully that continues.
Well, you know, again, you know, before I let you go, but, you know, to go into St. Louis, to hold them to 31% shooting speaks to what, you know, the capacity and the potential of this team defensively. To shoot 8 of 19 from the three-point line, to get to the free-throw line 34%, and to have, you know, multiple kids. You had four kids in double figures. I mean, speaks to the potential and the capacity on the offensive end. And, you know, Coach, I'm very sensitive to first-year coaches, especially after my recent experience. And so I've kept a close eye on your journey already through this year and everything. And the thing, you know, I talked to even your agent, Brian Stanchek, about this. And I think there's an element to coaches that some just have. And I have to ask you, I told him kind of tongue-in-cheek, every time I watch your game and I see you on the sideline, I'm always curious, how tall is she? Because I know heels add a couple inches, but you got to be about 5'11", 6 feet at minimum, because I'm like, there's such a presence there, not only, you know, with the height, you know, for a woman, but you have, you know, kind of a style and a mannerism about you that I honestly, and again, this is no Brown nose stuff. This is a guy who coaches and who studies coaches. I think you kind of have a distinguishable presence about you that only some have. And I talk about it even with someone like Muppet McGraw. She's a little woman, but she sits there, and even how kind of she walks the sideline, you know, her style and how she dressed, she has a presence mm-hmm. about her that I think just adds to her kind of coaching cachet within mm-hmm. her team, within others. And I'm just being honest with you, Coach. This is no, you have that. Like, you honestly are a pretty woman. You have this guy. You have style. You kind of have, even how you navigate this style, you have to me. I'm happy for you. I'm excited because I know how tough it is to take over, a successful winning program and to kind of just, you know, implement who you are. And I think your presence on the sideline and even just how you handle yourself, you're composed, you know, 99% of the time you're composed, you're in control. There's a very distinguishable presence about you, Coach, on the sideline.
Well, I appreciate that, Bill. I really do. And, you know, I don't. You're giving me credit with 99% of the time I'm composed because I don't feel like that. So. I do appreciate that. And, you know, I'm just me, you know. It's all I can be, and
well,
I'm intense, and you know, I mean, I love these kids, and you know, it's about them, and just trying to do everything I can do in my power to, you know, to put them in the best position to be successful and to continue to grow. I mean, really, so that's all I'm trying to do. But I do appreciate, you know, the words and the compliment.
Well, just lastly, I think it does have, you know, whether it be recruits, whether it be, you know, the kids themselves, I just think it adds to the confidence in the leadership, you know, the trust. And you do have that balance where you're demanding and you're intense, but yet you are also consistently composed. And there's no doubt for players and everybody involved when there's that balance, it's just terrific. And, again, I'm just very, very impressed with how you've handled everything, including, again, people who haven't been in that position do not know the position you've been in, to take over this program and take the baton. And again, I'm just thrilled for you. Obviously, there's a ton more work to do. You haven't really done anything yet, as coaches, as we know. But, again, a 7-1 run, and I think there's a nice stretch ahead here before you get into that last four games of the regular season, which are a gauntlet. If anybody's checked your schedule, but there's a stretch here that if you guys play well, you can really, really establish yourself within conference record-wise and stuff. But again, I'm just thrilled for you how it's gone to this point and how you've handled it all. Again, interviews, press conferences, postgame, even the losses, you've really been a pro's pro throughout the whole thing. And again, I also want to thank you for coming on today in this lengthy spot, but I want people to learn about Shawna Green, to learn about this program, because it's been successful. It's successful again right now, especially at this point in the year. And it's just a very intriguing program and team to watch. There's so many weapons. The way you guys are playing, it's just, to me, it's a much-watched team moving forward.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for all you do, too, and getting, you know, for having me on and getting this out there. And all you do for the women's game and putting stuff out, you know, through social media and your podcast. I mean, it's huge, and we need to continue to promote it. And, you know, I think what you're doing is awesome, and I love it. So whenever, you know, you want me on, whenever you need someone to fill in some time, you know, you can call me. So I love to talk to you.
I'll do it
whenever. And I do appreciate everything you do for the game and you know, for the kids and trying to get – you know, everything, and for all the programs, I mean, I think it's really important for our game to continue to grow it. So, you know,
it's, like I said, it's important to shine the light on what's deserved, and that is the kids, that is the team. There's so many relevant, intriguing, stimulating programs. That's the beautiful thing of women's basketball in 2007, coast to coast, you know, mid-major, high major, and again, I'm just sincere. I'm drawn now to every one of your games. It's because of the individuals within it. It's the collective product. It's you. You've become intriguing in this journey. The whole thing with Dayton now, is really good. I know that you just got the big transfer, you know, from Butler. So, you know, recruiting, mm-hmm. you got Sam Blaine, who I helped promote for a year, and I know what she is.
Uh-huh.
So certainly you got stabilized, I think, you know, with recruiting and everything. And I'm just excited for you. But, again, I'll let you cut you loose, let you get back to what you need to do and everything. But we certainly hope to have you on again, because the country needs to get more familiar with this program, with you. It's just really good stuff to follow Dayton women's basketball.
Well, thank you so much again. I really, really appreciate it. And, you know, hopefully I'll be back on and we can talk more. And like I said, thanks for everything you do. I really appreciate it.
Well, just lastly, Shauna, I promise you the next spots won't be as long. This being your first time on, I had to try to make people
no,
more, you know, familiar with you and kind of set a foundation. But I promise you,
coach,
I won't be on for an hour in the future.
You're fine. You are fine. So I appreciate it. And thanks again for having me on. And we'll definitely talk soon.
All right. Good luck.
And
good luck on Saturday. I'll be watching for sure.
Okay. Thanks so much, Bill. Appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you, Shauna, for the time.
Okay. No problem. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Bye. All right, fans. There is Shauna Green. And again, you know, the country isn't as familiar with her as I've become over the last, you know, few years, for sure, when she was an assistant, you know, under Jim Jaber at Dayton. She spent a year over at Northwestern. And speaking of that, you know, the lady has gone through an emotional stretch as well, because, you know, she was in the program and obviously at Northwestern last year. And, you know, obviously everyone has heard about the death of the sophomore guard Jordan Hankins there and the suicide, and just what an emotional time that is. Just a heartbreaking time for the Northwestern program. But Coach Green certainly, you know, had a relationship with that young lady, spent a year with her, and that just had to be a real tough blow for her, with everything that she's already has on her plate as a first-year head coach and trying to get her team to play at a high level and keep the run going. So, again, Coach, condolences to you as well. I know that you had a relationship with Jordan Hankins, so that had to be certainly heartbreaking news for you. But Shauna Green is seriously, if you have any kind of recognition about coaches, this is an emerging star in coaching. And it's just on so many of the lady. First of all, she's a striking physical presence, but she's so intelligent. She has such a great balance of composure and yet demanding and intensity. She knows what she's doing, and I give her such great credit in mid-December making the necessary to not only changes that were necessary, but quality changes, appropriate changes to help get her team, you know, over a hump and getting them, you know, in the right direction that they needed to go. And if you just follow her in press conferences and interviews, she gets it. She's honest. She just represents herself so well. I'm just, you know, again, severely impressed with Shauna Green and very excited for her, how things are now going, a 7-1 stretch, and their identity is forming, the roles are forming. And, you know, I watched this A-10 since the beginning of the year, and to me, since day one, I know St. Louis was picked the preseason favorite, but it's an open, you know, championship. And you know, the first month or two, it was going to be interesting with Dayton to see if they were truly going to be a player. They are. I mean, they are legit now, and it's because of the upside and the potential on both ends of the floor, the depth, the size, the guard play. And again, to me, it's because how quickly Shauna Green is establishing herself, and this is her team now. I mean, the GW win against Jen Rosati and a winning program, a championship program and culture like GW, and then to go into St. Louis on the road and basically, you know, just impose their will over that second half, and just do what they did. Again, you know, holding them to 31%, to score 78%, to get to the line of a, that was a huge win. I mean, they really, really was, if you know how good St. Louis is and what Lisa Stone has done with that program and how legit they are. And this is Shauna Green's team now. That team can move forward with full confidence and trust in her and what they're doing on both ends of the floor. And they got a lot of pieces. And I think there's even more room for growth with that team. That is a team that is going to be fun to watch and very intriguing moving forward. But I cannot say enough about how impressive Shawna Green has been in this journey in her first year and what she's doing there. So I really want to thank her for the length of time she gave me. It was kind of a foundation interview, and I certainly wanted to, you know, spend some time in general speaking about her and some of the things she's trying to do with the program and the product, and then we spent some time getting into the actual game against St. Louis. But so thankful to her, been wanting to get her on for 2 or 3 weeks, and finally was able to, which was great, and hopefully she'll be able to come on, you know, multiple times moving forward so that we can continue to promote her and the program and those kids. The A-10, y'all, I'm a Fordham. I'm very close to that staff. They're off to a 6-0 start. And Coach Gately, you know, since their championship team, conference championship team about 2 or 3 years ago, she's now got her best team, and they're intriguing, led by Jamaris Davis, one of the leading rebounders in the country up front. But they certainly always lock you down and kind of create their tempo in games. And, you know, they're off to a terrific start. And certainly GW will be heard from, and you have the likes of Duquesne that's been a winning program in the A-10 for, but this Dayton team is legit moving forward. Can't wait to see more of their games upcoming, and they don't play again till the weekend. But, again, thanks to Shawna Green for joining us in a lengthy spot, and just a couple of great days of interviews. You know, yesterday we certainly knocked it out of the park, and I can't believe that I forgot my girl Brooke Wyckoff at the top of the Brooke gets had a brain fart when I was looking back at yesterday's, and I remembered Sue Guevara certainly, and I just totally blanked out for some reason on Brooke Wyckoff. But we talked about another emerging stars in coaching, and I tweeted about it last night. I mean, yesterday's interview with Brooke was just lights out and really revealed how special she is. She's just extremely confident as a coach. And everything she's doing, and then she's just an incredible ambassador for women's basketball with the woman she is, how she represents herself, her infectious personality. Brooke Wyckoff was lights out yesterday, and so was Sue Guevara. You know, the insight she gave, you know, the veteran head coach for Central Michigan, the insight and just what a terrific interview that was, and what a job that she did. Just two tremendous spots yesterday, and then to come back with Shawna Green today, you know, for basically an hour. And, you know, she was terrific as well. And another young lady, another woman who, just, you know, really resonates with her leadership, how she represents herself. And it was terrific listening to her talk about the game and her program. And so, again, very thankful for the last 24 hours and the guests we've had and the jobs and the sincerity and the investment they've given to these replay interviews. So, there you have that, folks. Just going to give you a little recap of some of yesterday's games of note. Mid-major, you had UNH, New Hampshire, under Coach Maureen McGarity, winning 57-49 on the road at Vermont. And they now go to 14-3 and 4-0, okay, in the America East. And so Maureen McGarity, who I know going back, her dad, Dave McGarity, who is a longtime men's coach at Marist, and then now also is at Army on the women's side, and has done a terrific job there the last few years. But she played at Marist, Maureen McGarity, and I knew her. Someone I coached with played with her, and she's just a wonderful, wonderful, classy woman, and she's doing a terrific job up in UNH. She basically had to rebuild the program, and they're now 14-3, 4-0, off to a terrific start, and they had. Were led by 6'2 junior center Carly Pogue, who had 15 points, 12 rebounds, 5 of 14, 5 of 7. She's averaging 14-7 on the year. So Maureen McGarity getting it done up at UNH. Congratulations on that road win at Vermont. You also had Mississippi State, what an elite program that has become under Vic Schaefer, and they just continue to roll. Right there with Connecticut as far as the undefeated, but they're 19-0 now, 5-0, and they had the in-state rivalry game against Ole Miss at home, and they won 73-62 in a methodical win, and they were led by their All-America caliber wing perimeter player, 6'1 guard Victoria Vivian, 23 points, 6 rebounds, 8 of 21 from the field, 4 of 7 from behind the arc, 3 of 4 from the line, and so Victoria Vivian,
leads Ole Miss and keeping them rolling 19-0 in mid-January, 5-0 in conference. And that is a program that kind of broke out last year and caught everybody's attention, but now this year it's following it up with a dominating start to this season. Again, 19-0, 5-0 in the gauntlet of an SEC. And they just, you know, they have a reputation for defending, but they also have weapons on offense inside and out. Willem, their point guard, is terrific. So Mississippi State, if you're not familiar with them, you need to become so. And hopefully they get some more games on national television so that they can become more well-known, including their product. But congratulations to Vic Schaefer and crew for keeping it rolling. You had obviously one of the big, huge wins last night was Tennessee at home beating Notre Dame, and just a real signature win for Coach Wallach. You know, certainly we talked with Shauna Green about taking over, but she had to take over for Pat Summitt in the last few years, and a good stat was made last year. Certainly there's been scrutiny on the program. I've been critical of the program, just primarily in the standpoint of, you know, under our leadership of the product, you know, some of the discipline, shot selection, some of the X and O's and execution, the collective play has not been out of a standard that you would expect from such a signature program, but she's continued to battle through. They've been tremendous on the recruiting trail, specifically in the last 12 months. Huge class in the 2017 class, probably the number one high school class in the country, and now they're already getting some premier, you know, junior pledges. But, you know, again, and they've had some losses this year where you could, you know, kind of bring some scrutiny upon them, and they've kind of been up and down. But for them to beat a Notre Dame program, when you beat a Notre Dame program, you've earned it, and you've done a lot of good things right, specifically on the defensive end in the second half yesterday. They really, because they were behind. They had adversity. Notre Dame had taken control of the game. They had gotten into a flow offensively for a stretch middle of that game. But then in the second half and in the fourth quarter specifically, led by their, you know, uber-talented Diamond DeShields, who's been an enigma herself, including especially in the defensive end, Diamond really did a terrific job yesterday. But they imposed their will on Notre Dame in that second half, specifically the fourth quarter defensively, and they won 71-69, holding off Notre Dame in that last possession. They did a great job of defending without fouling in that fourth quarter, which was really the dynamic that proved to be huge, because Notre Dame had a last possession, and they had only been fouled twice by Tennessee. So Tennessee had fouls to give before Notre Dame could try and really get off the kind of shot and play that they would want, and it turned into kind of a really low percentage desperation quick release three by Lindsey Allen that just came up short after they were able to give a couple fouls and chop the clock down to just a couple of seconds. But Diamond DeShield, 20 points in the game, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks, and again, it really stood out with her defensive performance and did a tremendous job, Diamond DeShields and Tennessee. So congratulations to Coach Wallach and the girls. Again, a real signature win, not only for this season, but maybe in her tenure at Tennessee, because certainly the respect and the stature of the Notre Dame program, for them to beat them, you have to earn it and do a lot of things right, especially to come back and beat Notre Dame. So congratulations again to Coach Wallach and the Tennessee Lady Vols on that huge win yesterday that hopefully for them will propel them moving forward confidence-wise and also understanding what it takes to play at that level. Mid-major, back to mid-major, you had Quinnipiac. I referenced them, you know, quickly in the spot with Coach Shauna Green from Dayton, because they had played Quinnipiac early in the year. People don't know how good a program Quinnipiac has become, and what a, you know, terrific team they are this year. But they're now 15-3, 8-0 in the MAC, 8-0. And again, I got to see them earlier in the year in a Las Vegas tournament playing some heavyweight teams, including Oregon State, and they gave those teams all they can want, and they got some real toughness in that program and in that roster and in their backcourt. But on this night, they've had some great play from their forwards lately. Their last couple games, Stroutmain has led them. But tonight, the last night, it was Jen Fay, the 6-foot sophomore forward for Quinnipiac, who had 12 points, 3 of 6 from the arc. She's averaging 10 points a game as a sophomore in a team that's got depth, shooting 36% from the arc. So having a forward who can shoot it like that and stretch the floor and give them versatility is big for Quinnipiac. But again, she's leading. She led a Quinnipiac program that people need to put an eye on. 8-0 in the MAC, which is a quality mid-major conference for sure. 15-3 overall. And again, those three losses, a couple of them are to legitimate teams, and high major caliber teams that they had out in Vegas. So very impressed with Quinnipiac and Coach Trish Fabry, who I coached against, where she has that program now. I mean, they are legit and very impressive again this year. Certainly, looking to win the MAC this year, and certainly would be maybe my favorite to do so. Very, very impressive team, Quinnipiac. We had Maine, who had a big win last night against Hartford at home. Hartford, who under Jen Rosati had been a winning program and a championship caliber program in the America East, and now they have Coach McNeil who's taken over there. And, they've been off to a good start and kind of taken the baton and been a winning program. Had a winning product through this year so far, but they go on the road to Maine, and Maine, who's now 3-2 in the league, but even their mark to 10-10 with a big 73-62 win and controlled the second half, and they were led by 5'11 freshman guard Blanca Milan, 23 points, 5 boards, 9 of 12 from the field, 2 of 5 from the arc, so they get a freshman to really step up and help lead the way in a big win over Hartford. So congratulations to Maine in getting that win over Hartford, which is a really quality winning program. High major style, my guy Kenny Brooks might be the leading candidate for Coach of the Year across the country. And Virginia Tech now goes to 16-1, 3-1 in the ACC. They're the number 17-ranked team in the country, but they had a dogfight yesterday, specifically down the stretch in the fourth quarter against Wake, but they hold on for the 72-70 win against a feisty Wake team that wouldn't go away and kept fighting. And so congratulations to Wake on what they did as far as just being feisty. Certainly no moral victories for Coach Hoover and company. They've had some losses for sure in the last month, but Wake holds on again. Kenny Brooks and what he's done, immediately turning around Virginia Tech and making them relevant again. Now a 16-1 start, and they had the tough loss on the road recently to have their streak snapped, but they now again get back on the winning track, and again they have a tough schedule coming up for sure. So they needed that win to keep pace in the ACC, but 16-1, they were led by their just terrific, terrific two-way guard, sophomore guard Shanez Hicks, 29 points, 7 assists, 5 boards, 13 of 23 from the field, a lot of attempts, but efficient and high shooting percentage with 13 for 23, and they also have a terrific double-double versatile forward in McGarity for them, just a sophomore and is healthy this year, and she's been a real stalwart for them. But again, Kenny Brooks, my guy, coached against him. I was at Northeastern. He was at James Madison, developed a really good rapport with him, and a guy who's just truly to be respected both on the court and off. Quality guy, terrific coach, was just, had a terrific run at James Madison, making one of the best mid-major programs in the country for a number of years, and now immediately getting it done at Virginia Tech, and they're going to be a player moving forward for sure, nationally, ACC, and also on the recruiting trail into Kenny Brooks. So congratulations to Kenny, keeping the train rolling at Virginia Tech with yesterday's win over Wake Forest. And, that pretty much will wrap up just a handful. The slate wasn't all that big last night. It's not overly big tonight. You got UConn playing. Let's see what else here, if you just give me a second. You have some interesting matches. You got UConn playing at Iowa Rutgers. You have Memphis, South Florida, trying to get back after taking that bludgeoning at UConn. You have a big matchup in the Big 12, Texas and Oklahoma. Oklahoma at 5-1, 14-4 overall, number 20 ranked in the country. And then you have Texas, number 12 ranked team, 6-0 in the Big 12, and 12-4 overall. And they had a big-time non-conference schedule. So those four losses certainly were against legitimate competition.
but they have certainly gotten it rolling in conference, and that game is in at Texas. So Oklahoma and Texas, the big matchup of the night. You have a couple of teams in the American Conference. Cincinnati, which is under the radar, really having a kind of a breakout year for them under Coach Jamel Elliott, the former UConn assistant, but they're 12-5 overall, 3-1 in the American, and this would be a big game. They're playing SMU. They're at home. SMU is 10-7 overall, 1-3 in the American, but they need this win to go to 4-1 to keep pace. And certainly we all know that UConn's the obvious class of the American, but there's a battle for that second and third spots between the South Floridas, between Temple, which is having a terrific year under Tanya Cardoza, the other former UConn assistant. They're having a terrific start. And then also Cincinnati, who's emerging, having a breakout year for them. So Cincinnati SMU, a game to keep an eye on. And then you have some mid-major game again, Iowa and Rutgers. Rutgers has had some big, they were just, you know, really a mess for the first month and a half, but they've had some big wins of late, including just coming off a big win at home against Michigan State was a huge win. So Coach Stringer, and they've had a bunch of injuries, but she's really, showing her mettle, and those kids are with what they've done of late, and certainly in Big Ten play. They're now 3-3, which is, very credible considering, the start they got off to and how they're turning it around. You do have Connecticut at Tulsa, 8 o'clock start. You have Valparaiso Green Bay, and that Green Bay team, again, a mid-major to certainly, if you're not familiar, you need to be. They've been a legit mid-major for years. They went toe-to-toe with Notre Dame at Notre Dame earlier this year. I believe they also played UConn as well, but they are certainly a legit team, 15-2 overall, 6-0 in the Horizon, and that program is just fun to watch as well. So you want to keep an eye on them. Milwaukee in the Horizon, 12-5, 4-2 overall. They play UIC, Illinois, Chicago, but that's and then you have Michigan State and Northwestern in the Big Ten. Michigan State looking to bounce back after the upset loss to Rutgers, and they face Northwestern, and certainly Northwestern 4-3-2 in the Big Ten. In the Big Ten, but certainly most people who follow women's basketball by now certainly are aware of the tragedy and adversity they have dealt with within the last week or two with the suicide and the passing of Jordan Hankins, the sophomore guard. So just been an absolute lot to deal with for the Northwestern program, including the grind of a Big Ten schedule, and then also just the absolute tragedy to Jordan Hankins. But they had a big win. After the passing of Jordan Hankins, which really was wonderful to see those girls be able to pull that off after just such a debilitating dynamic. And now they have the home game against Michigan State, so they're going to try and build upon that and try and get another big win for them. So that's kind of what you're looking at in the slate today. But, again, thankful for everyone who tuned in live and anyone through the archive version. For today's version of Replay, again, big, big thanks to Shauna Green for the lengthy and terrific interview we had for her, the first-year head coach at Dayton, again, taking over for one of the really credible, terrific coaches, Jim Jaber, who built that program up into a Sweet 16 NCAA caliber program and a real factor in the A-10 year in, year out. And he stepped aside in the beginning of September to concentrate on his health and spend more time with family. And Shauna Green, who was his assistant for 3 or 4 years and then went over to Northwestern, the aforementioned Northwestern last year, comes back in September. And as somebody who's had a similar scenario in recent years, taking over for a successful coach so late, it is a very overwhelming and daunting first-year journey. And she has honestly just handled it tremendously, including how she's handled herself, how she's led her leadership capacity, and then just the product now. She's had to make some adjustments and some changes midstream. In December, we talked about some of the changes she's made and adjustments, but then getting a team that's deep and with some successful players who have had success and trying to get kids to finally see their roles and embrace her. She's had a lot on her plate. She's also obviously, she's married. She's got young kids, and And so she's just had a lot on her plate. But this is her team, and that signature win that we broke down against St. Louis on Sunday, road win against just a tremendous mid-major program in St. Louis led by Lisa Stone. What a job she's done. You want to talk about someone who's done a job. What Lisa Stone has done building St. Louis last year, that should have been an NCAA tournament team. It was co-champs of the A-10. They've come out of nowhere in the last couple of years. They were preseason favorite and picked to win the A-10 this year. And, you know, they return a ton, and just the product, the job Lisa Stone has done to go in there and to beat them and to impose their will over the second half and the fourth quarter especially, just a really signature win. They had a big win against GW a couple games prior. They had a big win against a Texas A&M, a Power 5 program, a winning culture, a terrifically coached program down in Florida about a month ago. But to me, that St. Louis game really sent a message to people and to our own team that, listen, we're ready to go. We're ready to move forward, no looking back, you know, that, you know, the transition of the coaches. She's got them on both ends of the floor. There's an identity building there. There's, just a real trust now that they have the head coach to lead them to big road conference wins and to big wins and, you know, to get it done down the stretch of those kind of grinded out stressful games. And so, again, for Coach Green to beat Jen Rosati and GW at home a couple games ago and hold GW off down the stretch and then to go into St. Louis and beat that team, that quality product on the road, and to finish it out like they did, again, really, they are now a 7-1 stretch after mid-December and after the break, the break that they had, 11-day break between the Toledo game and then getting back into it right before Christmas. So they really made some great appropriate changes, and the team is bought in. And they look legit now moving forward. They certainly, as Coach is the first to say and speak about, have a lot more in terms of detail and discipline, especially in terms of turnovers. You heard her talk about that. That's an area that they need to get better at. But, again, they are now moving forward. This is Shauna Green's team. I spoke with her at the end of her interview that she has a real presence about her that's intriguing to kind of follow in game along with the team. She's a very attractive woman. She's tall. I didn't get the answer from her. I meant to get the answer from her, how tall she is. She looks like, obviously she wears heels often, but she's got to be about 5'11", 6 foot for sure. Just a tall presence, but a pretty woman, stylish, you know, dresses well, but yet also how she navigates the sideline. She kind of has a little bit of a smooth strut to her at times, similar to like a Muppet McGraw. Some coaches just navigate a sideline with presence. Coach Shauna Green does that. I also love the balance that she has and how she navigates a game in terms of her temperament. She's intense. She's demanding at times, but yet she also has a real great composure, you know, consistently through a game too, including through some adverse moments. And really just very, very impressed with her. She has, a distinguishable presence about her, you know, on the sideline that I think does add to leadership, not only, you know, for the team and for her kids to see, but I think also for people watching the game, you know, if you're a recruit watching her, it's the kind of leadership quotient and presence that I think makes you want to play for someone like that and believe in a head coach. So just very, very impressed with Shauna Green, impressed with her after games, before games, with some of her press conferences and interviews. And she seems like a potential emerging star. And she certainly has had a lot on her plate taking over for Jim Jaber, but she certainly seems up to the challenge and up to, again, leading Dayton to continually be one of the best mid-major programs in the country moving forward. So I'm excited for her. Someone who's been in that position and knows what she's gone through, especially, you know, a tough non-conference schedule for sure, not getting off to the smooth, great start and having to navigate that, having to deal with that, and then really getting it turned around in a big way now and moving forward. And they have a few games slate now where, again, they have games, again, you got to bring it. A-10 is a legitimate conference. You can't throw a lemon out there and expect to get a win.
but they now have games against, you know, St. Joe's, George Mason, Rhode Island, and Davidson, and even VCU Richmond, teams that are not in the top tier of the A-10. So they have about a six-game stretch where they're already 5-1 in the conference, where they have a six-game stretch where they could really cement themselves in the top tier of the A-10 before that four-game stretch to end the A-10. They have George Washington, Duquesne, and then Fordham and St. Louis, two of the best program teams in the conference. So that, those last four games will certainly kind of determine who wins the A-10. But they have a stretch now of six games where they really need to lock down, be mature, and handle their business and cement themselves in that top couple of teams in the A-10. So, again, thankful to Sean and Green. Thankful to everyone. Have a great rest of the day, everybody. Look for a couple more, hopefully one or two more replay shows the rest of the week. Follow me at NY Coach on Twitter, and you can continue to see the promotion for upcoming shows. Thankful, everybody. Have a safe rest of the day. Coach Bill signing off from New York. Take care.